Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nonprofit U, a forum where nonprofit stakeholders can share lessons learned and discuss the latest developments in the industry. My name is Valerie Leonard, your host. I'm a consultant to nonprofits, and I specialize in community and organizational development. I work with nonprofit organizations to help them make a stronger impact to their clients and communities. You can find Nonprofit U on Facebook and on Twitter. I encourage you to comment early and often using the hashtags Nonprofit U, Just Checking, or Nonprofit Compliance. You can also leave comments on blogtalkradio.com/_U. The chat room is open, and you can post comments and questions. And in order to use the chat room, you must open a listener-only account. You'll find a link to open the account on the episode page, and you can also email me questions at consulting@valeriefleonard.com or send messages through Facebook and Twitter. You'll find a Nonprofit U fan page on Facebook, and the Twitter account is @NonprofitU, taking questions at about the 20-minute mark by phone, and the chat room is open. Again, the call-in number is 347-884-8121. Today's episode is Just Checking, a discussion on nonprofit compliance. We'll run through a checklist of all the filings that you'll need at the state and federal levels in order to maintain tax exemption and good standing. And I'd like to remind you that I'm based here in Illinois, so the state and local discussion will focus on Illinois, but you and other states can still find this of value because we will be focusing on federal compliance, and some of the things that apply in the state of Illinois also apply in your state. Again, the call-in number is 347-884-8121. Nonprofit professionals are especially encouraged to call in and share your perspectives. If you happen to be an attorney or someone who specializes in taxes, you are especially welcome. I would be really interested in hearing what you have to say. So there's no guest today. It's just me. And as I mentioned before, I work with organizations to help them make a stronger impact to their clients and communities. I do this through things like strategic planning, proposal writing, specialized workshops. I teach classes online, and I do board development. And it seems that regardless of what it is that I'm dealing with, at some point, clients I'm working with are going to have a compliance issue. And when I speak of compliance, I'm basically talking about the regulations, you know, making sure that you file your report, you know, on a timely basis with the regulators. And regulators can be anyone from the federal government, it can be your funders, it can be state and local government. So anyone who is giving you money, they have some strings attached, and you got to make sure that you comply with the rules. So remember, he who writes the check calls the tune. So with that said, I want to just go over with you who the major stakeholders are in nonprofit compliance. You know, all too often we think of compliance as, okay, the IRS or the Attorney General, and it ends there. But the truth of the matter is there are about 8 major players in compliance. And the first player is the nonprofit organization itself. And when we look at the organization, we're looking at the board and the staff. The board and staff, especially the staff, needs to make sure that there are systems in place to maintain that compliance, you know, making sure that they can report regularly to funders and regulators. And then board members have a fiduciary responsibility to make sure that there's good oversight and make sure systems are in place. The organization's auditor cares about compliance because, one, that's the job they do. They focus on the annual audits. They also provide technical assistance to make sure that you are in compliance with the IRS and your state and local government. The IRS wears several hats. Believe it or not, they actually want to help strengthen organizations. So more and more you're seeing them do classes and publish even more resources to make sure that organizations fully understand, you know, their roles in compliance. And they also work with GuideStar to make sure that they share information on your Form 990s, which can be used as marketing purposes, as also for transparency and fundraising purposes. They also obviously distribute the Form 990, which is an informational return. They want you to return that on an annual basis, and they provide technical assistance. The Attorney General, at least in the state of Illinois, has a very similar function. They want to make sure that you register them so that they're on notice that you are going to be doing fundraising. And then they also require annual reporting. And from time to time, they do provide resources and technical assistance in order to strengthen the nonprofit sector. In the state of Illinois, as I would imagine is the case in several states in the United States, you have the Department of Revenue. And the Department of Revenue is concerned, obviously, with taxes. So when you do your sales tax exemption, they're there. And when you file for your withholding, they want for payroll taxes. You have to make sure you comply with them in that instance. And then with the state of Illinois, and I would imagine with other states, you have to go through the Secretary of State's office. You do the Secretary of State's office when you are setting up your organization to actually file. And then you'll also be filing annual reports with the Illinois Secretary of State. And then your organization's funders, they care about compliance. You know, they have grant reports that they'd like for you to fill out to make sure that you're complying with the goals and objectives and other rules that they set forth in their grant agreement with you. And then finally, let's not underestimate the public, the end user of a lot of this information that we get. The public includes a lot of individual donors, and they want to make sure that their tax dollars, you know, in the instances where states are giving money to organizations, as well as their individual dollars, are being spent wisely. So they have a vested interest in making sure that nonprofits are in compliance with all the rules. And most important with you as a nonprofit organization, if you adhere to the rules set forth by the IRS, set forth by all of these regulatory agencies and your funders, if you do it well, you stand a much better chance of increasing your funding. So you really, really care about that. So now that we've gone over the eight players, I want to ask you, did you actually know that tax-exempt organizations are two times more likely than taxpayers to be late filing their annual returns with the IRS? There are approximately 1.4 million registered organizations in the United States, according to the IRS. And when we say registered organizations, we just are talking about those organizations that have gone through the process of becoming tax exempt, and, you know, the IRS has a record of them. So of that 1.4 million registered organizations that were in existence, about 579,000, or about 40%, lost their tax-exempt status as a result of not filing Form 990 3 years in a row. And Form 990 is not a tax return, but you have to take it just as seriously as a tax return. In exchange for your tax exemption, the IRS requires that you disclose information about your activities on an annual basis. So whereas individuals do the Form 1040, they are looking for nonprofits to do the 990s. So we had about 32% of our organizations who lost their tax exempt because they didn't file it for 3 years in a row. And you compare that to folks filing their 1040s, and only about 15% are delinquent. So when we look at the situation in Illinois, we have about 60,000 registered organizations, and about 43% have lost their tax-exempt status in recent years. So my goal today is to raise awareness of the issue and to let organizations know what forms you need to file in order to maintain your tax-exempt status. So the first form we're concerned about is the annual report to the Secretary of State. So in the state of Illinois, our Secretary of State is Jesse White, and every corporation, including nonprofits, have to do an annual report for of their officers and directors every year. And that report is due on the anniversary month of the month that you were incorporated. So, for example, if you were incorporated September 15th, then you have to file every year at the month in the month of September. And the fee is $10. The late fee is $3, you know, which is pretty small. It's got a great, I would say, there's huge consequences if you don't file. If you don't file the annual report, you can actually lose your corporation, not just the tax exemption, but you can be involuntarily dissolved by the Secretary of State if you don't file those forms. So that's very, very important. Another thing you should be concerned with is your annual audit, and that's usually for organizations that have about 25,000. You know, sometimes your funders may require have a different requirement, but typically, if you have 25,000 or more, then you should have a financial audit conducted. And the reason being, your funders are not necessarily going to take your financials as you present them at face value. They want to make sure that there's some independent entity looking at your financials, making sure you have strong financial systems in place. And remember, the annual audit, annual financial audit is not necessarily there to uncover fraud. It's there basically to make sure that you have good financial controls in place and that your methodology for keeping records is sound. Okay, and then next you want to make sure that you comply with all the grant requirements that you have. So anybody who gives you money, it could be an individual, it can be an organization, it could be a corporation, it could be a government entity, anybody who gives you money is going to have some strings attached. So you got to make sure that you comply with whatever rules they put on you. So when we look at what goes on at the federal level, the IRS, again, they want to make sure that you file Form 990. Now, the Form 990, as I said before, that's an informational return. It's not a tax return. And you can use it actually for marketing purposes, you know, because there's places where you can talk about some of your accomplishments. So some savvy organizations have actually used it not only as an opportunity to be in compliance with the government, but since, you know, every 990 that you file is also on file with GuideStar for the world to see, you may as well use it to sell some of the accomplishments that you've done. But from a regulatory perspective, the IRS requires that you file Form 990 within 5.5 months of the end of your fiscal year end. So if your fiscal year ends June 30th, you have until November 15th to file. And if your fiscal year end is December 31st, then you have until about March 15th to file. So unless you have a reasonable cause for filing, if you're an organization that is under $1 million, the penalty is going to be $20 per day, every day you're late. And on top of that, they're going to assess interest. And if you're under $1 million, the maximum penalty is $10,000 or 5% of your gross receipts, whichever is less. But if you're an organization that makes $1 million or more, the penalty is $100 per day for every day that you're late. And this is for every return now, for a maximum of $50,000 for every return. So it really, really behooves you to be late. Sorry, not to be late. I'm sorry. And I have seen, you know, in my personal experience, organizations, you know, where they weren't really sure about the filings. They learned 3 years into their development, so they may have incorporated 3 years prior, didn't really know that they were supposed to do these filings. They thought, oh, I'm tax exempt, so I don't need to do any taxes, so they don't think about the filings. And as a result of not knowing, they got this notice from the IRS 3 years into their existence, and they were a very small organization, saying that they owed about $10,000 in fees and penalties for not filing. So, yes, you don't have to pay taxes, but, you know, you can see the consequences of not knowing what's required or not filing can, you know, really put you out of business. And had they not had a really good accountant who really understood, you know, how to navigate that, then they really, really would have, you know, had some trouble and probably would have had to go out of business. And you should also know that the IRS, they have a database of organizations that are automatically, that get automatic revocation. And when we talk about automatic revocation of exemption, that means, you know, in 3 years, if you go 3 years without filing, they can automatically take your tax exemption without really notifying you. You just become part of the list. And, you know, if you haven't been vigilant, that, you know, just being on that list should serve as your notice. And then people, you know, the general public can search and make sure that you're not on that list, or potential donors can check and make sure that you're not on that list before they actually, you know, part with their money. So it's really important, again, to keep your filings up to date. Now, the state has AG990IL, that's in the state of Illinois, which is basically the state counterpart. You know, just like as an individual taxpayer, you have federal income tax to pay, and you got the state form to fill out. We do the same thing with nonprofits. So at the state level, you have form AG990, and again, that's an informational return, but it does have some financial information. And that's due at the same time your federal form 990 is due, and that's within 5.5 months of your fiscal year. The filing fee is $15, but if you're late, for every return that you file late, it's a flat $200 fee. You know, so you can see those fees start to escalate pretty quickly. And then what's really, really important is making sure that you keep current your information for the registered agent. Now, the registered agent is that person or that entity that receives all of your legal notices. So notices from the IRS, notices from the Secretary of State, notices from the Attorney General's office. All of those notices go to the registered agent, and that's the person that you listed when you incorporated. You know, however, from time to time, those people may change or your address may change, and in that case, you have to make sure that you let the Secretary of State know so that they can let other agencies know and you can get your forms, your notices on time. You know, I've had one instance where I dealt with the client, they moved. Not only did they move, they didn't tell the state, they didn't know that they were supposed to tell the state that they'd moved, but they also, as a result of this, didn't get their notices from the IRS or from the state, and they were late filing. So it's really, really important that when you move, or if you even change the person, so if you're not necessarily moving, but the person changes, for example, your registered agent could be listed as your executive director. If that executive director changes, then you need to let the state know so that you can make sure that you continue to get those notices. Another thing that's really, really critical, you can file your 990s and keep your tax exemption, but if you're not filing for your payroll taxes, your payroll tax withholding, then you can lose your whole organization. So there are penalties for not filing, and there are also penalties for not paying. So the penalties for not filing is 5% of the unpaid tax that's due with the return, and the maximum penalty is 25% of the tax due. Now, this is for every year that you don't do this. And then on top of that, there's a penalty of 0.25% per month for not filing. But if you have, I'm sorry, for not paying, but if you have a reasonable excuse, then you can then you can get out of it. But most people don't have really good excuses. So it's really important to make sure that you pay into your escrow. And then also on the state level, you have to file Illinois 941. And you could do that quarterly or you can do it annually. And I would recommend actually doing it quarterly. And then even on top of that, even if you have a small organization, I would strongly recommend you using a payroll service like an ADP so that they can keep up with that stuff, because it's really, really complicated trying to do it yourself. And if you're not a professional, your life is hard enough trying to manage your program, let alone trying to manage the payroll withholding. And the final thing you should be concerned about is the Attorney General's office. If you haven't filed, when you created your organization, make sure you file Form CO1 and Form CO2 with the Attorney General's office. And that applies, I know, in the state of Illinois, and I'm sure for other states around the country, you're required to file with your Attorney General's office. And the reason this is important, the Attorney General's office needs to be put on notice that you're engaging in fundraising activities, and then they're also going to need to have you send a report. Again, the AG 990 in the state of Illinois. And if you don't actually file, then there's going to be a late fee for every year that, that you don't do it. So, I'm sorry, a late fee for every annual report for every year that you don't do it. So it's really, really important to register the CO1 and CO2, otherwise there's a late fee. And on top of that, there's going to be a late fee for not filing your AG 990 annual report for every return. So when I look at this work, I look back over the 15, 20 years I've been doing this stuff. And some of the lessons that I have learned as it relates to compliance is I've learned, since there's so many requirements, everybody wants a pound of flesh. If it's not your funder, if it's not the government, somebody wants a report, right? And they want it in their own format and they want it at their own time. And it's pretty hard to just remember this stuff. So what I've done is put together a compliance calendar, what's required, who wants it, and when, and that way I can stay on top of it. And then I also learned that not all attorneys and all accountants are made equal. Just like you have doctors that specialize in different areas, you have attorneys and accountants that specialize in different areas. Don't use an attorney or an accountant who knows nothing about nonprofits. Make sure that you get attorneys and accountants that specialize in nonprofits, because I've seen organizations get in trouble not knowing about these filings because their accountants and attorneys didn't know. They were relying on their accountants and attorneys, and their accountants and attorneys didn't know the requirements, and they ended up, in a pretty bad spot. And then for those organizations that are just starting out, you need to focus on compliance at the time you start organizing your organization. When you do your initial filing with the IRS, your initial filing with the Secretary of State, your initial filing with the Attorney General, sometimes, you know, they may give you a letter and tell you what's required, but, you know, you might not even be thinking about that for a whole year. And then sometimes 2 years go by, 3 years go by, and next thing you know, you're on the list to be, you know, to lose your tax exemption, have it automatically revoked, or you're on a list from the Secretary of State to have your corporation just dissolved because you didn't keep up with the dates. So it's really, really important to keep things, you know, keep the compliance at the fore. And I just want to let you know that, you know, I developed a checklist for informational purposes only. This is not meant to be professional advice, but I can tell you it's those are strategies that have worked, you know, very well for me. And again, if you have any questions, I encourage you to call in. The number is 347-884-8121. Nonprofit professionals are especially encouraged to call in and share your perspective. I also have an article and a checklist called Just Checking. It's on my website. You can go to valerieleonard.com and search for it. It's Just Checking Nonprofit Compliance. So again, I'm calling one more time. If you're in the chat room, you can post a question. If you want to call in, the number is 347-884-8121. Okay, it doesn't look like we have any questions or callers. I want to thank you so much for listening to Nonprofit U Blog Radio Talk Show today. The show will be available for download within about an hour. I want you to be sure and tune in next week when our guest will be Robert Douglas. Robert is a community activist in the Roseland community here in Chicago, and we're going to be talking about the importance of community building. I'm looking forward to a very lively discussion, and I hope you can join us next week. Thank you very much. Take care.